The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it was a tough test for Ireland on Saturday with goals from Damien Rice and Jack Grealish rubbing salt into the wound. To review that and the rest of the weekend sport, I'm joined by Colm Mullally from Off the Ball. Kyle, to quote, well, I won't quote Roy Keane, but I'll paraphrase him. We're unable to organise a drinking session in a brewery.
Yeah, well, that was in reference to the FAI on the ITV's coverage. Roy Keane was part of the analysis team, Anton, at the weekend. As you say, difficult afternoon for Ireland. England 2-0 winners. It could have been a lot more than that for the visitors. They got their goals early through Rice and through Jack Grealish as well. And in the end, it was a comprehensive victory. The scoreline probably not reflective of the dominance of England through the game. Now, lots of fallout from the game, as there always is from a Republic of Ireland match. I think in many ways, you have to take a step back and just look at it. It was England are the fourth ranked team in the world. When the World Cup comes around next time around, they're going to be one of the favourites to win it.
And surely a new regime gets some breathing space, no?
I would think so. But I think, you know, there's probably an impatience amongst the Irish support now for progress, because it has been such a difficult time for Ireland over the last number of years, and everybody's just clamouring for something positive to get a hold of. There was a great atmosphere in the stadium ahead of kickoff on Saturday, but unfortunately the two England goals came within the first 25 minutes, and that kind of sucked the life out of the whole thing, and Ireland were on the back foot for a long time. England are one of the best teams in the world. They kept the ball really well. They looked sharp all the way through, and they were missing some key players as well. From an Irish point of view, probably not a whole lot to take from it, Anton, in terms of looking for what sort of a stamp that Heimir Hallgrímsson, the new Irish manager, is going to put on the team. You do mention, and you're correct in what you're saying, that he's had such a short space of time to work with the players. This is his first international window. He was only appointed in the summertime. John O'Shea and Paddy McCarthy still part of his backroom team. But I think as things move on now, starting with the game tomorrow against Greece, which is a much more important match than the England matches in this Nations League group, I think we'll be looking out for maybe a little bit more from Ireland in terms of tactical nous, in terms of what sort of a style that Hallgrímsson wants to install in this Irish team. I think he wanted the team to be a little bit harder to beat, maybe return to basics in terms of being a little bit more solid. And that's why it was really disappointing to concede so early on Saturday, because that took the sting out of the Irish challenge early on in the game. So, as I say, the Greece match, as Heimir Hallgrímsson has said, and the Finland match as well, those games in this group are going to be much more of a barometer to see where Ireland are at, as opposed to playing England, who are one of the top sides in the world.
Well, we like a little bit more ambition. There was a quote that I thought was deeply depressing, where he said that he was happy with the players coming in, happy with the second half, but looking at it now, probably the game was over after the first half. It was really important to stay in the game. That was the message at halftime. Stay in the game and don't concede a third one.
Yeah, and Ireland didn't concede a third goal. But you have to give a lot of credit to Caoimhín Kelleher. It wasn't for the lack of chances that England had. They really did pepper the Ireland goal at various stages, and the Irish goalkeeper Caoimhín Kelleher made a number of key saves. That's what I'm saying about the early part of the game. Because of the atmosphere, because of the history of the fixture between Ireland and England, and Ireland have had some good results in this fixture over the past number of years, over different generation now, of course. But had Ireland stayed in the game a little bit longer early on, the longer that goes on, maybe England get a little bit, well, nervy may be a stretch, but they may become a little bit more uncomfortable in a boisterous atmosphere at the Aviva Stadium, the longer Ireland had kept the game scoreless. But unfortunately, they got that early goal. The two early goals, Declan Rice and Jack Grealish on the mark. And in the end, England pretty comprehensive winners. So, as I say, work to do for Heimir Hallgrímsson.
And what are we looking for then in the Greek game?
I think progress. I think positive result. They certainly need to get at least a point against Greece. And Greece are a team that Ireland have struggled against in qualifying in recent years. The Greek matches in the qualifying for the European Championships probably were the games that ended Stephen Kenny's reign in many ways, because that's where they were the team that Ireland had targeted in that group. And it's the same in this Nations League group. All of a sudden, if Ireland were to get a positive result tomorrow night, that gives Heimir Hallgrímsson a little bit of momentum and kind of a positive start to his regime as Ireland manager. It will be a tall order. Greece beat Finland by 3-0 in their game in the group over the weekend. So let's hope that Ireland can produce a little bit more of a dominant performance in terms of keeping the ball tomorrow night, which they should be able to do against a Greek side that obviously aren't at the level of England.
The other thing, of course, was the sideshow with whether or not Carsley was going to sing the national anthem, which, of course, he then didn't. The Red Tops getting their pants somewhat in a bunch. Mm. Is that all going to blow over? Are we going to have to put up with weeks of this?
No, I think it's blown over to a large extent already, Anton. I actually think that Lee Carsley managed it quite well. He spoke in his post-match press conference after the game on Saturday about the whole situation, said that he was obviously aware that the papers had taken that angle on Saturday morning after his words on the days leading up to the game about the national anthems and all of that sort of stuff. I think Lee Carsley is actually well suited to the England job in that sense in particular. He's quite an understated character, didn't pour any petrol on the flames, if you like, in terms of creating even further controversy with his words after the game. I think he managed it quite well. And the England manager's job is one that comes with an enormous amount of scrutiny, that every single word that you utter will be analysed to the hilt by the media in England. And then there's the pressure attached to it as well, and the expectation, particularly now around an England side that's probably one of the best that they've had in the last number of generations. But Lee Carsley right now is in pole position to become the permanent manager, but in this Nations League group he's expected to win every single match pretty comfortably.
Looking ahead to the week to come, Irish Open up in Royal County Down.
Yeah, lots to look forward to for the Irish Open Golf this week, and all eyes will be on Rory McIlroy as he takes to the links at Royal County Down. You'll remember back in 2015 the tournament was held there. Rory McIlroy at that point had taken over kind of the hosting of the Irish Open. Don't forget that back then the Irish Open was struggling, and Rory McIlroy really did help to revive it. He won the tournament in 2016, but in 2015 he actually missed the cut at Royal County Down, so he'll be hoping for a better outing this time around. Royal County Down, widely considered one of the best golf courses, if not the best golf course
location
in the world. It absolutely is, Anton, under the more mountains there in Down, and it's a wonderful layout. It's a quirky, tricky golf course, but it's going to really test the players at the Irish Open this week, and wouldn't it be great to have a home winner? Maybe Rory McIlroy can make a charge for the title. Shane Lowry as well, a former Irish Open champion. He won back in 2009 as an amateur, very memorably, at County Louth Golf Club in Baltrae. Royal County Down, as you say, at the venue this week, and let's hope the weather plays ball. The last time it was there was in May time, and I think the temperatures were under 10 degrees, which wasn't ideal. So let's hope it's a little bit better.
Have you seen a long-term forecast? Do we know what
it
looks like?
I certainly won't try to predict the weather on national radio.
Obviously, Lowry and McIlroy have home field advantage and are Irish. What about international competitors? That's always been one of the challenges for the Open, is trying to get the big names in internationally.
Yeah, and that's what one thing that Rory McIlroy managed to do is that he called in a few favours from his friends, the high-profile players. I think Sergio Garcia, Ernie Els, a couple of other players came to play at that time around. Bob McIntyre is one name to watch out for, the Scot, who's had a very good season, won the Scottish Open pretty memorably, and he'd fancy his chances probably across a links layout. And I think it's important as well just to mention the presence of Rory McIlroy in particular at the Irish Open, because he hasn't been able to play in it every single year in the last number of years. But given the stardom of Rory McIlroy, probably the most recognisable face in the game of golf, it's great to have him back on home soil.
And one assumes it provides a tourism and economic advantage as well, because any TV, any footage, any coverage that you get, it's a good ad for Irish links courses, which the Americans love.
Absolutely, and golf tourism has become a huge part of tourism in Ireland. You've got different areas in the country, such as the north coastline, where you've got Royal Portrush and Port Stewart and Royal County Down up at that side of the country. Donegal has become a huge golf destination as well in the northwest, then down to the southwest, where you've got your Ballybunions and Lahinch and Tralee and everything else. It's a huge part of the tourism market in Ireland now. And I think if the weather plays ball, we'll have some great pictures of Royal County Down this week blasting across the world.
Before I let you go, I forgot to mention US Open.
Yes, the tennis last night, and Jannik Sinner winning the men's singles title. Straight sets win over Taylor Fritz in the final, 6-3, 6-4, 7-5. That's Sinner's second Grand Slam title of the season. He won the Australian Open in January. The women's singles title went the way of Aryna Sabalenka. That was her third Grand Slam title. She won the women's singles final on Saturday night, beat Jessica Pegula 7-5, 7-5.
Of course, she had lost in the final last year, didn't she?
That's right, in pretty disappointing circumstances. And there were times in the final on Saturday night where it did look a little bit nervy, that maybe that might have been playing on her mind, and as that scoreline would suggest, 7-5, 7-5, it was pretty close, but Sabalenka got the job done.
Before I let you go, if you're not going to get into the job of predicting the weather, give us a call on what you're predicting scoreline against Greece.
Ooh, good call. 1-1.
Cahal, thank you very much. That is Cahal Mullany from Off the Ball.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.